InfoWars.com studios. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We're going to take a look at what the Democrats think. They have impeachment. They said, we've got everything we need to file impeachment. All they need to file impeachment is a majority in the House. Impeachment is nothing more than an indictment, and you don't need to have evidence to get an indictment. I've talked many times about the mistrials, the miscarriage of justice, the persecution that's happened to people in the Bundy trials, happened to Ross Ulbricht in the Silk Road trial. Ross was indicted for something that he was never tried on, let alone found guilty. But they used that indictment to give him three consecutive life sentences. And they covered up the fact that you had corrupt FBI agents who were subsequently convicted of crime for embezzling money as they were running Silk Road. They had the passwords for that. That was all hidden from the jury, just as the actions of the corrupt BLM and FBI and Department of Justice people, the Bundy Ranch, was also hidden from the jurors. What is being hidden from by Mueller and others are the crimes that Hillary Clinton committed. I mean, we've got massive campaign violations committed by Hillary Clinton. You don't want to talk about corruption involving foreign agents, the dossier and so forth that involved foreign actors as well as other things. Of course, that's all being ignored. So this is all going to turn again on the election. What happened yesterday is really of no consequence. The convictions to Paul Manafort are consequential to him, of course. But they are for crimes that occurred long before the campaign, long before he was involved with President Trump. Has nothing to do, and the judge was very adamant about that. He said, you wouldn't be here. He said that to Mueller and his people. He said, you wouldn't even be here if he wasn't associated with Trump. You're trying to turn him. Many people have said he's trying to turn him. He's trying to get him to compose, was the phrase that Dershowitz used. You know, if you can't get him to sing, maybe you can get him to compose something, make something up to come after him. And of course, that is the concern with Cohen. But a president will not be tried. A president will be indicted and then tried in the Senate. So it's going to turn on the election. We're going to talk about that. We're also going to talk a bit about what globalist government looks like. We can see what it looks like in China right now. We can see what they're doing. And we can see that very rapidly, very shortly, it was just 4 months ago that we found out about the social credit scoring, your social credit score in China. And now we find out yesterday that Facebook is doing it as well. So all of these things are being brought here very rapidly, actually being created and written at exactly the same time. Facebook and Google and Microsoft and all these companies, Apple, they're all doing this in the United States as well as in China. Here, they're keeping it quiet. In China, they're actually openly doing it. They are the beta test sites. So we're going to take a look at what some of that looks like, as well as having some people on today that are going to talk to us about alternatives to the monopolists. I want to talk a little bit about the line of criticism that has come out. I wouldn't say criticism. I would say the apologists for this kind of Silicon Curtain, as I talked about it yesterday. You got many libertarians joining in. I understand when the Democrats are cheering in the street because they're simply just blindly partisan. What I have a problem with are when libertarians like John Stossel coming out say, it's just private property. They can do whatever they want. We're going to look at that in detail. We're going to analyze whether or not it really is just private property or not. And if it's better for you to be censored by corporate fascists rather than communist dictators. Does it really make a difference to you? Is it still a violation of your human rights? And how did they become corporate fascists? Was it with the help of the government, with some aid to give them monopolies? We'll be right back. Stay with us. I'm David Knight.
InfoWars.com studios in Austin, Texas. It's your host, David Knight.
Welcome on this Wednesday, August 22nd, 2018. I'm David Knight, your host. We have a UN nuclear watchdog agency saying there is no sign that North Korea is actually halting its nuclear activities. And in Minnesota, at Viking Stadium, we had 50,000 Muslims chanting Allahu Akbar. Of course, it was just a peaceful demonstration. We'll talk about all this as well as the fact that we now have light bulb prohibition ending. How about that? Light bulb prohibition. Remember when they did that? That is now about to end thanks to President Trump. But it looks like the California legislature may be about to enact Bible prohibition, banning Bibles. I'm serious. I mean, we're not talking about that. It would be funny if it wasn't so serious. But, this was a charge that was made by John Adams against Thomas Jefferson. And it was not true. But if you're living in California, you might want to bury your Bibles in the backyard just in case the Democrats get this bill run through. So we're going to get into all that coming up. But before we do, real quickly, I want to take a look at the two convictions yesterday. We had Paul Manafort convicted of 8 out of 18 accusations of bank fraud, tax evasion, and so forth. And we had some convictions on with Michael Cohen, who is going to get, even though a lot more money was involved, he's going to get a much lighter sentence because he did a plea bargaining agreement. And what is going to come out of this? Of course, the Democrats are saying this is the only excuse we'll need. Did they need an excuse? I don't think so. I think they need an election to impeach President Trump. They don't need an excuse. They'll do whatever they want. It doesn't matter. So we'll take a look at what this is. First of all, let's play a clip for you of President Trump. He had a rally yesterday, and he also spoke to the press about the Manafort conviction. Here's President Trump.
Fake news and the Russian witch hunt. We got a whole big combination. Where is the collusion? You know, they're still looking for collusion. Where is the collusion? Find some collusion. We want to find the collusion.
This has nothing to do with Russian collusion. This started as Russian collusion. This has absolutely nothing to do. This is a witch hunt, and it's a disgrace. This has nothing to do with what they started out looking for Russians involved in our campaign. There were none.
Again, what President Trump said, this has nothing to do with Russian collusion. This started as a Russian collusion investigation. Remember that? Remember what this was supposedly all about? And see, this is the problem because there is no process here. The special prosecutor law was shut down. So they said, oh, he's not a special prosecutor. He's a special counsel. You know, just like the asset forfeiture, rules are not laws. See, they're rules created by a bureaucracy. If they were laws, you would have due process, and they would have to find you guilty of a crime before they took your property, and then they would be limited to a punishment that was not excessive. But we call them rules, and so we don't call this a special prosecutor. We call Mueller a special counsel. As I pointed out before, it's kind of interesting that in the history of the United States, virtually all of the special counsels or special prosecutors were instigated by the president, not against the president. They were created because there was corruption in the bureaucracy or there was corruption in the Department of Justice. You know, kind of like we got right now. President Trump is the one who ought to be initiating the special counsel. That is what has historically been done. You had the Teapot Dome scandal or whatever. Oh, we've got to investigate this. And the corruption is so widespread, we have to have a special counsel. But when they had the special prosecutor law, which they got rid of because they said, you know, this is really kind of being used as a political witch hunt. Both Republicans and Democrats agreed about that. When you had that, there had to be evidence given to the attorney general that there was a crime. And if that seemed to be sufficient, then the attorney general would appoint 3 judges. Those 3 judges would appoint a special prosecutor. Special prosecutor would make regular reports to the 3 judges as to the progress and whether or not this thing needed to be continued. None of that is happening. You had Rod Rosenstein, who appointed Mueller, and they're all buddies going way back. with Hillary Clinton, and they're covering up their crimes. And he just appointed this guy directly, answers to him, and nobody is reporting anything. They won't even report anything to the House Judiciary Committee. They stall, cover up, or redact everything, so they don't pass anything along. I mean, this is absolutely total garbage, and I think everybody understands that at this point. So, as President Trump says, this has absolutely nothing to do with any collusion. It's a witch hunt. It's a disgrace. Has nothing to do with what they started out looking for. Russians involved in our campaign, there were none. He said, I feel very badly for Paul Manafort. Again, he worked for Bob Dole. He worked for Ronald Reagan. He worked for many people. And this is the way that it ends up. And it was not the original mission. Believe me, it was something very different. So it had nothing to do with Russian collusion. But we continue the witch hunt. And that's exactly what is going on. It just keeps going. But they're going to find this as an excuse to move forward. And again, Paul Manafort's is not going to be the excuse they're going to use. They're going to use Cohen. As Michael Caputo, former Trump advisor, said, the Manafort trial isn't worrisome. The Cohen agreement, maybe, and the Cohen statements. Probably the worst thing so far that has happened in this stage of the investigation. One Republican lawyer close to the White House worried that Cohen, this is reported by Politico, with his unique access to Trump's history of business dealings and scandalous personal entanglements, could ultimately prove more damaging to Trump and could give Democrat fodder for impeachment if they take the House in November. The lawyer said it's the only excuse they'll need. And believe me, they won't need much of an excuse. Exactly. All they need is a majority. They would do it right now if they had the majority. They don't need an indictment. They don't need an excuse. And as I pointed out at the top of the hour, this is very much like what we saw with Ross Ulbricht. An indictment to smear, saying, oh, Ross contracted on Silk Road to have murder for hire. Of course, Ross Ulbricht was convicted for running Silk Road, but he was never allowed to expose the corruption of the FBI and the Justice Department. And he was never tried. And of course, he was never convicted of those charges, but they left them on so that the judge, and this is an amazing thing, the judge used those indictments, those untried, unconvicted, unproven indictments to enhance the sentencing for Ross Ulbricht, to give him multiple life sentences, consecutive life sentences, to make sure that he couldn't get out on parole. Excuse me. And they left those there all the way through the appeal process. And then once the appeal process was finished at the Supreme Court, then they removed those indictments. It is a smear. You know, the old thing that you can indict a ham sandwich. Absolutely, that's true, because it's only one side that is put out there. Now, this indictment, if it comes to that, is going to be a ham sandwich with rye. And I'm spelling that W-R-Y. It's going to be like the Peter Strzok sneer. That's what this is going to be about. So it's the only excuse that they'll ever need. It's going to be this rye sneer that is coming out there. And when we look at, again, the convictions for Manafort, as Yahoo points out, Manafort was found guilty of fraud Tuesday as part of the investigation, they said, into Russian meddling. No, it wasn't. It had nothing to do with it. It took place years before. They said it was part of the investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election. This is, again, an effort to come after him. We're going to play, when we come back, some comments, Alan Dershowitz and Tucker Carlson, because it's not Manafort, but it is Cohen. And the question is, did Cohen plead guilty to campaign finance violations? Were there campaign finance violations? Were any laws broken? he can go in and say, and his lawyer, Lanny Davis, who's been joined at the hip with the Clintons all of his life, pretty much, is saying, well, this is it. We now have campaign violations. It's not a campaign violation, depending on how the money was paid. It's okay to pay hush money to somebody if you don't want them to say something negative about your campaign. As one of the people said, if this is a situation where you had a contractor, you didn't believe that you owed him the money, and he was going to go public and smear you, it's just like, all right, we'll pay him the money just to keep this quiet. We don't want to have a big issue here. That would be perfectly legal. Perfectly legal to cover up something that you would find embarrassing. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. We're going to take a look at what, if anything, is there in these Cohen indictments. And, of course, we have Lanny Davis, who is representing Cohen. And he's also actually representing the Clintons, the Democrat Party. He accused Trump of ordering his client to make hush money payments. Well, that's not necessarily illegal. It depends on how the payments were made. How were they financed and so forth? That's the real issue. But he had this interesting statement to make. And I just want to unpack what Lanny Davis said, the lawyer for Cohen, Michael Cohen. He said, this is not just about the obvious possibility of a conspiracy to collude. Think about that, the obvious possibility of a conspiracy to collude. Here we are, what are we, coming up to 2 years now, the collusion investigation, so forth. Where is it? Might be a conspiracy to do that, and there might be a possibility of a conspiracy to collude. And it might be obvious that that's there. Now, what's obvious are your partisan leanings, Lanny Davis. So it's the obvious possibility of a conspiracy to collude and to corrupt the American democratic system, democracy system, in the 2016 election, which is what the Trump Tower meeting was all about. No, it wasn't. It was about getting information about the corrupt Clintons. And I think it's interesting, as we pointed out last week, we had the, I think it was Freedom of Information requests that were filed by Judicial Watch that showed that there have been many, many, many attempts to lure the Trump campaign in by the deep state, by the law enforcement officers that had been ignored by them. And this is one meeting. They went there. There was no information, no money given, nothing. Nothing happened. There was no crime. Nothing. There was no collusion. Even at the Trump Tower meeting, there wasn't any collusion. And we'll talk about how the elections are going to be hacked. We mentioned that yesterday. We'll get into that in just a moment. But let's continue on with what's going on with Cohen. So we had a statement from Rudy Giuliani. He said, there is no allegation of any wrongdoing against the president and the government's charges against Mr. Cohen. Giuliani said it is clear that, as the prosecutor noted, Mr. Cohen's actions reflect a pattern of lies and dishonesty over a significant period of time. That's problem number one. Your witness is an obvious crook. he was working for President Trump, and that's not a good thing. But it also doesn't work out too well for Mueller, because this is a guy that is going to say anything to save his skin. And we'll just have to wait and see what he has to say. Now, I want to get to Alan Dershowitz, who was talking to Tucker Carlson last night, talking about whether or not this is really a violation of law, because it all turns on a technicality of how the money was paid. And as Dershowitz points out in this interview with Tucker Carlson, he said, in every presidential campaign, there's so much money now that is involved there. Everybody gets fined. He goes, this is like a parking ticket. It's like a misdemeanor offense. And they're going to try to build this from a third-party accusation into an impeachment, because you've got Senator Blumenthal from Connecticut. Senator Richard Blumenthal goes on, where else? CNN. And says, we're in a Watergate moment. Today is going to be historic. We'll all remember what we were doing when we heard this news about Michael Cohen implicating the president in a very, very serious misdemeanor. No, he called it a crime. No, this is not a JFK assassination moment. This is more like when Squeaky Fromm had a gun at a Gerald Ford rally and they wrestled her to the ground. I don't remember where I was when that happened, when Squeaky Fromm had a gun, the old Manson cultist, but I do remember where I was when the JFK assassination happened. Yes, I'm that old. But anyway, let's talk about whether or not a crime was committed. This is Alan Dershowitz with Tucker Carlson last night.
Well, itself, it's not a crime. And if the president had paid it directly, it wouldn't be a crime. The allegation here is that it was Cohen who paid it and made a campaign contribution, which he didn't report, at the direction of the president. And of course, some stations are already playing the funeral music for President Trump. But this is much more complicated and much more nuanced. First of all, the crime itself is very, very vague. They tried to put Edwards, the former presidential candidate, on trial. trial, and of course, they got an acquittal. But second, it really depends completely on the credibility of Cohn. And remember, as Judge Ellis said, when they squeeze people like Manafort or Cohen, they squeeze them not only to sing, but sometimes to compose. And it's very easy to embellish a story. Let's assume hypothetically it's true that he did pay the money and it was designed to help the impact of the election. That wouldn't involve the president. All he has to do then is say, and the president directed me to do it. That's the kind of embellishment that people put on a story when they want to avoid dying in prison. When the prosecutor says to them, you have two choices. You'll die in prison or you can give me a story that I can use to go and get the president. I'm not suggesting that happen here. But the risk of that happening is what Judge Ellis talked about in the Manafort case. And we may see that at work here. So we're a long way from, tolling the bells for this administration. It's a bad day. It's a negative day.
It's a bad day, for sure.
But not a fatal one. Yeah.
But I'm still a little bit confused. So if somebody comes to you and says, if somebody says to you, and you're running for office, and the person says, give me money or I will humiliate you in public, and you do give that person money or instruct your lawyer to give that person money, that's a campaign donation?
Not if you make it yourself. But if somebody else pays the money in order to influence the outcome of the election, it is technically, perhaps, a violation of the election laws. That's what they try to get Edwards on.
You heard it right there.
They got an acquittal.
It's technically, perhaps, a violation of election law. But it would be a misdemeanor, except that the Democrats want to take power back. And so this is really just simply, again, about the election. They will use this as a presumption to do impeachment, but they would find anything to do this. So this is, nothing has really changed in this. I'll tell you where we really are on all this. As this was happening, and as the political class was chattering about a possible campaign finance violation, and again, remember that Cohen concealed more than $4 million from the IRS, had nothing to do with Trump. We've also heard that there was a talk about $20 million of other payments that centered around his taxi business and so forth. They were looking at a lifetime sentence for this guy based on the magnitude of these crimes. And so, yeah, he will compose information. And so this all, again, gets in the technicalities as to whether or not it is even a campaign finance violation. But they're going to ignore what happened with Hillary Clinton involving foreign actors, foreign intelligence agencies, paying for a dossier and using foreign citizens in all of this. That will not be talked about because that's Hillary Clinton. But as all of this is happening, what America is really concerned about is the murder of Molly Tibbetts, quite frankly. This one story that had captured the imagination of the American public, and people were talking about this for weeks, and it turns out that the murderer is an illegal alien. And so this is where Americans live. This is what the election is going to be about. As President Trump said at the rally, this should never have happened. You heard today about the illegal alien coming in, very sadly, from Mexico. You saw what happened to that incredible, beautiful young woman. The laws here are so bad. The immigration laws are such a disgrace. You know the little phrase, resist? It says that's all they're good at. They have no policy. They're not good politicians, but they're good at sticking together and resisting and about destroying our laws.
Waging war on corruption. It's David Knight.
Welcome back. As I said, what Americans are going to be concerned about is not this back and forth about Manafort and Cohen. You know, did President Trump pay off these people or not? Did he do it legally or not? Did he dot all the I's and cross all the T's? Because the easiest thing to get somebody on is some kind of a financial law violation or some kind of a campaign law violation. It's very easy to do that. No, they're concerned about the murder of Molly Tibbetts and how that happened. That's what the American public is looking at. And so now this guy who's 24, illegal alien from Mexico, who murdered this young woman. This is back on the evening of July 18th. People have been looking at this for several weeks, trying to figure out what had happened with that. And that's what people are going to be voting about. That and making sure that the progress that we're making economically moves forward. We're going to roll all of this back if the Democrats get elected. We've even had a judge in D.C. now backpedaling on his DACA ruling, saying that Trump can deny new requests. Now, again, I want to point out the absurdity, the Kafkaesque absurdity of having judges rule as to whether or not President Trump can stop DACA. What was DACA? DACA was stopping enforcing the law, the deferred action for certain classes of people who came here illegally, childhood arrivals. But at its bottom line, it was the Obama administration. It was a memo, actually, from Homeland Security Director Napolitano saying that they were not going to enforce the border laws. They were not going to enforce the law. How does a judge say to the next president, you can't now enforce the law because a previous president said we're not going to enforce the law? I mean, first of all, the judges should have been saying, somebody in the government should have been saying to Obama, you can't choose not to enforce the law. You and your Justice Department or you and your Homeland Security cannot ignore the law. But now you have judges with all this DACA appeals and orders from these arrogant judges saying, no, you cannot enforce the law. It is illegal to enforce the law. We're not going to let you do that. And it was a law that is not in contention as to whether or not it was constitutional. This is a quote-unquote executive order. And this new executive order cannot override that. It's absolute nonsense and absurdity. As President Trump said, the Democrats want America to be one big, fat sanctuary city for criminal aliens. He said America, they say, was never great. That's the Democrats' new theme. And, of course, that was what Cuomo said the other day. America was never all that great. Well, then Cuomo, who has bragged about his recent ancestors, I don't know if he was, I guess he's second generation. His dad was Governor Cuomo, so I guess it was his grandparents who came. Why'd they come here then? Why'd your grandparents come here if America wasn't so great? Why didn't they stay where they were? But of course, he said America was not so great, and now we've got the mayor de Blasio, and President Trump is criticizing him for stealing, plagiarizing his slogan. He said, promises made, promises kept. Now, that's not really the big news about de Blasio. Within the last 12 hours, the New York Post has pointed out that under de Blasio in New York City, child protective services have been exposed not doing background checks on people that they hire and people that they put children under the care of. In one particular instance, they had a man who had served 28 years in jail for murder, and they put him in charge of children. So they got people who are child abusers, people who are murderers. They don't do any background checks on CPS in New York City. That's the scandal. It isn't that he plagiarized a slogan from President Trump. That's what everybody's talking about. The back and forth, the fact that President Trump called him out. But that is the scandal. And it comes, as you saw the article on the Drudge Report, saying that New York is last in freedom. How about that? We've had, maybe they should put that on the license plates. You know, we have New Hampshire, live free or die. In North Carolina, it was first in freedom. I guess they could make it last in freedom. New York, last in freedom. Empire State. I guess it is kind of an empire. The Democrat Empire State is last in freedom, according to the latest survey. And they have a lot of different metrics of that. It's economic freedom, taxes, terms of how the government treats you in terms of coming after you for crimes, a lot of different metrics in that. And then they give an overall score. And guess what? The Democrats in New York, and of course, New York City is going to be the very, very worst aspect of that, come in last in the country. Last in the country, even worse than California. That's absolutely amazing. They got a competition going on there between the two of them. It's going to be the most authoritarian. I don't know where California, I should have looked to see where California was. when we look at this, I think it's all summed up what is going to happen in this next election. Was all summed up by a satire site, Babylon Bee. Sometimes you can't do any better than to just make a joke out of it and to satirize what the Democrats are doing. So here's the headline from the Babylon Bee. Democrats demand vigilance against election hacking unless it involves voter ID laws. Concerned about the influence of Russian bots and others who may act like American citizens to dishonestly manipulate the ballot box, Democrats insisted the government make every effort to protect the election process from fraud, short of requiring voters to provide proof that they are who they say they are. And then they have a fake quote from Nancy Pelosi, and they have her saying, we must ensure that every American citizen is fairly represented at the polls, unless, of course, that means that they have to present some form of easily obtainable identification when they show up to vote. We can't have them showing a driver's license or even just an identity card that you can get from the government, which you would have to use if you cashed a check to pay for your groceries or anything else, or if you flew on a plane. Can't have that. And it was just 2 weeks ago that we had, this article from Breitbart, 670 ballots cast in a Georgia precinct with only 276 voters. How could that happen? A northeastern Georgia precinct located in Habersham County. Habersham. It reminds me of Beverly Hillbillies when they went to England. Habersham. That was Faversham. Anyway, had 276 registered voters before the state's primary elections at the end of May, but 670 votes were recorded. Vote early, vote often. That's the motto in North Carolina, because in North Carolina, we have the earliest voting of anybody. Thank you, Democrats in North Carolina. And you don't have to provide any voter ID. And they fought against it, you know, because of Civil War. That's what their excuse is. Civil War, so you can't have any voter IDs here. You know, this is the South, can't have any voter IDs. And as I've said many times, my brother-in-law had a friend, and he didn't want to come on the radio and talk about this, and he didn't want to make a big issue of it. He didn't file a criminal complaint or anything. He didn't go to any press, but he went to vote. And in North Carolina, you go there, and they got the big computer printout. You give them your name and your address. They look down there, and they say, oh, you've already voted. He did this on Election Day, because North Carolina has the earliest voting of any state in the country. And he says, no, I haven't. They say, yeah, you voted. And so is this other person at your address. And they gave him the name of his mother who died years ago. They don't purge the rolls. And all they need are names and addresses. How difficult is that? You know, we used to have these things called phone books. You could go down and vote the phone book. And that's what the Democrats are doing in these places. But in Georgia, they went even beyond that. They had three times the number of voters as they had registered voters in this one area. And so, you know, we don't have to worry about that. Georgia is one of a handful of states, including New Jersey, South Carolina, Delaware, Louisiana, that uses electronic voting machines that do not produce a paper trail for voters to verify their ballots. And Texas is one of those as well. Technically, according to the Constitution here in Texas, there is supposed to be a backup record, and all the ballots are supposed to be numbered, and that's true whether it's electronic or paper. And yet we have a person in charge of the elections here. It's put in by Rick Perry, but he worked for the Rose Law Firm with the Clintons, and he has shut that down every one of these elections. And when I confronted him on it, and he saw me with an InfoWars mic flag, he turned around and literally ran up the stairs. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. As we talk about the untouchables, I'm going to mention a little bit about the untouchables. That's going to be Google, Facebook, Apple, the big corporations that no one shall touch. I am absolutely amazed to see some people like John Stossel, libertarian, taking the absurd position that this is simply their private rights. I want to talk about that a little bit here. Before I do, real quickly, because these tech giants are trying to remove us from the internet, we have dropped our prices at InfoWarsStore.com and added free shipping store-wide for domestic orders. I want to give you some of the specials that we've got right now. BrainForce Plus, my favorite supplement that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That has now been reduced 40% off, plus free shipping. Super Male Vitality, Super Female Vitality, both of those, 50% off, plus free shipping. DNA Force Plus, 50% off plus free shipping. And DNA Force is a very expensive product for us to produce. PQQ is a very effective ingredient. There's about 170 clinical studies. You can look at that and see how it improves your mitochondrial health. But it is expensive to produce. 50% off is a big dollar savings for DNA Force Plus. Plus, there is free shipping. One more I'll give you, and there's many, many others if you look at the site. BioTrue Selenium, 50% off plus free shipping. Many people have written many articles about how essential selenium is for your health. The question is, are you going to get a good quality selenium? We call this BioTrue because it is non-GMO, and it is a pure form of selenium. So take a look at those specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this operation. And we're going to talk in the next hour. We're going to have people join us from BitChute as well as from Minds.com because we want to talk about what we're going to do to get around this censorship by the tech giants. And, of course, Lionel is also going to join us in the third hour. So we're going to talk to people about alternative platforms. We need to know what we can do and how we can get around this. And so we want to have them talk to you about that, explain their platform to you, the alternatives that they're setting up for YouTube, for Facebook, for Twitter. We're going to have a lot of people joining us over the next few days talking about alternatives to those tech giants. But even the ACLU is saying that the Alex Jones ban could be a dangerous social media precedent. Ben Wisner, who is director of the ACLU, said that the companies have a constitutional right to regulate speech on their platforms. But he added that hate speech turns out to be an extremely subjective term. He said some platforms have attempted to expand their policies beyond the limitations of hate speech, of course, and to preclude fake news as well. And so the question is, what are we going to do with that? You know, hate speech is very subjective. Fake news is even more subjective. And then so are their rules. Subjective. You know, we look at this. They did not follow their rules. They ignored their stated rules. Certainly in my case. I had never received any warnings. I have, as of yet, still not received any notification. We're 2 weeks into this. And they've never given me any explanation. Not even accused me of hate speech. Not accused me of fake news. Nothing. I was never had a single video identified. I have been spammed by their AI bot now almost 1,400 email messages. And guess what, YouTube? You're not bothering me anymore with that. I set up a rule just to stuff them all in a folder. Just so I don't miss anything. I'll go back and review and make sure that but they haven't answered me. I actually looked at the content of the email when I filtered it, not just who it was coming from. We filed a report, asked for information from them. Contacted them on Twitter, at Team YouTube. No response. Not like they immediately got back to a liberal group. And so they're not following their own rules. It is torturous interference. It is a violation of the Sherman Trust Act because they're colluding with CNN. They're colluding with politicians. It is a violation of the Federal Elections Campaign Act. There's a lot of rules that they have broken. These people are like utilities. Think about the fact that when you want to take the position that Stossel takes, it's just private property. Well, let's imagine for a moment here that one of these foreign companies that run our toll roads here. Let's imagine that those foreign companies just decided that they're not going to let you on their toll road if you have a Trump bumper sticker. Or for those of you on the left, let's say that they decide that they don't want you if you've got a Bernie bumper sticker. Is that okay? Is that all right? Is that private property? As Mike Adams was saying yesterday, and he was on talking about real.video. He said, these companies, and we have seen this with Microsoft coming out and trying to deplatform Gab because they said, well, you know, Gab is going to be a free speech platform, but we don't like the comments of a couple of people here. So we're going to shut down your entire platform if you don't purge those people. So you're not going to be allowed to have free speech, Gab, because we will shut you down. Well, they're a utility company that, like Mike Adams said, it's kind of like the phone company listening to your phone calls and saying, you know, I heard this conversation that you had with your aunt the other day about politics, and I'm not really too happy about that. And so I'm going to cut off your phone service. And if you don't like that, make your own phone company. How about that? And that's essentially where we are right now, because they are listening to your conversation. They're watching it in great deal. We have 51% of Republicans say that the media is an enemy of the people. As I said before, fake news is a very subjective thing, isn't it? Now, 51% of the people in this poll from Statista said that the GOP agreed that the news media is the enemy of the people. Now, only 5% of the Democrats did. Why? Because the Democrats like mainstream media. They like CNN. Well, a few of them do. Most of them prefer MSNBC or some other form of fake news. But only 5% of the Democrats believed that that this was a problem. 91% of them said, oh, the news media is an important part of democracy. But the Republicans who don't agree with what they're putting out there, who think that it is fake news, say that 51% of them say, no, they're not an important part of democracy. They're the enemy of democracy. Now, President Trump comes out and says, I'd rather have fake news than censorship. He said that yesterday. That's exactly right. I would like to be able to have that discussion. But, you know, when we look at this and we look at Facebook putting out user reputation scores, the question is not whether or not Facebook trusts you, but do you trust Facebook? Do you trust Zuckerberg? Do you trust these corporate oligarchs to determine what you're going to be able to see, hear, and pass on to other people? They haven't proven themselves to be trustworthy. And I'll tell you what this is really about. This is about trust in a different sense. Trust in the sense of a monopoly. You go back and you look at the Wikipedia definition. I hate to go back to Wikipedia because they're so biased, but they can occasionally get some things right. They say a trust or a corporate trust is what they were talking about when they had the legislation under Teddy Roosevelt and so forth, the Trust Busters legislation, Sherman Antitrust Act and so forth. A trust, a large grouping of business interests with significant market power, which may be embodied as a corporation or as a group of corporations that cooperate with one another in various ways. Does this sound like these largest corporations who have exercised monopolistic control over the internet and free speech working together over a 12-hour period to censor Alex Jones, InfoWars, and me? Does that sound like a trust? Does that sound like a monopoly? Does that sound like collusion? You want to talk about collusion? Investigate this. There isn't any collusion with Russians, with President Trump. There is collusion with Silicon Valley, collusion with the Democrats, collusion with the deep state, all the people who are colluding against President Trump. I think it's significant that you got the DNC and you got CNN. I mean, you had Donna Brazile passing questions on to Hillary Clinton as part of the town hall. So there was collusion between CNN and the DNC, between CNN and Hillary Clinton, between the CIA and the FBI and the DNC and Hillary Clinton, collusion with foreign actors and MI5. None of that is anything they're really concerned about. But as we look at this, this is really, when we're talking about trust, it isn't whether or not you are trustworthy. It's whether or not you will actually trust Facebook. You should not trust them. And they should not be allowed to operate as a trust. When we look at all of these stories, I mean, even one from the EU had a couple of days ago saying Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter are only going to get 1 hour to remove content that is flagged by the European Union. 1 hour to remove that. Where is the censorship coming from? Are they exercising their private rights? No, they are following the direction of the government in the same way that as they pull Facebook and YouTube and Twitter in over and over again for these hearings and demand that they take down InfoWars. It took them longer than 1 hour. It took them a couple of months, but they did it. They eventually got around it. Where is that censorship coming from? Is it coming from these oligarchs? That would be troubling enough, but it is coming from the government. And people like Stossel don't see it.
Universal deceit. Telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. Coming up in this hour, we're going to be talking to someone from BitChute And that is where we have a lot of our videos right now. As a matter of fact, we're happy to find out that they had been, without us knowing it, they had been uploading videos from this show for about 6 months. Now, we just had our one-year anniversary yesterday, but BitChute had been uploading our videos, so we don't have to go back and chop them up. We've got the full shows archived, but we have the individual videos that we had chopped up. We'd pull out of the full program. We'll go in and pull out maybe 5 minutes here, 10 minutes here. Sometimes we'll put together two segments if it's a two-segment interview or something like that, so it might be a 20-minute video that we put up on the channel, and then we would embed some of those in the Infowars.com website. And so now all those embeds that we had with YouTube are dead. So we have learned our lesson here, and we have all that information, and we will eventually get that back up. We're not going to be flushed down the memory hole by the gulag. Nice try. That ain't going to happen this time. And we want to give a shout out and a thank you to BitChute. We're also going to talk to Minds.com. There's several different sites. Real.video, we had Mike Adams on yesterday. We have to understand we do have alternatives. But then there's other ways that these oligarchs out of Silicon Valley are going to try to control the internet. Why? Because they are allied with the military-industrial complex. They're allied with DARPA. They're allied with NATO. We're going to talk about that coming up here in a moment. But before we do, I want to hit some news here at the top of the hour. We have a UN nuclear watchdog saying that there is no sign that North Korea is halting any of their nuclear activities. This is the IAEA. As they're looking at this. And this is not something that is unexpected. It is disappointing. As I pointed out, all of this talk about how they had now seen the light, they wanted to be good guys, please invite us to the party that we call the Winter Olympics in South Korea and so forth. All of that was done because their test site collapsed on them after they did the big nuclear bomb test site. It's very well publicized that latter part of September, beginning of October, if I remember correctly, it was in the fall. September, October, the big one that they did, which was a couple of orders of magnitude bigger than their previous bombs, actually caused earthquakes and subsequently collapsed part of that mountain where they were doing their nuclear testing. Killed a couple hundred people as they were trying to dig them out. They had subsequent collapses. Another couple hundred people were killed and so forth. It was in shambles. And so there was a way to save face and to buy time. And we're hoping that maybe, all right, they're going to see the light. Maybe, you know, they'll have a change of heart. I talked to Joel Skousen, and he was like, nope, they're just buying time. They're just buying time. I said, well, I know that they're buying time. They lost their test site, but maybe things will work out. Maybe, but he said, nope, they've always done this. And he was absolutely right. They've done this every generation of dictator. This is a patriarchy. Here's your patriarchy to get upset about, ladies. If you want to get upset about a patriarchy of dictators. Going back multiple generations, they've done it to the U.S. and Western powers constantly stall, while they continue with their weapons development. And that appears to be what is happening now. So the U.N. Has now admitted that they're continuing on with their nuclear activity, still trying to develop weapons. Meanwhile, our ally, our head-chopping ally, Saudi Arabia, is about, I don't know if they're going to chop off her head or not, but they're about to execute the first woman for a political protest, for political activism. With allies like this, of course we shouldn't be concerned about the people. You know, I look at this and I look at the fact that nobody other than President Trump and Ted Cruz, nobody in Washington has expressed any concern about the Silicon oligarchs that have deplatformed InfoWars off of social media. Nobody. Only Ted Cruz and President Trump have even talked about it. And here we have our allies about to kill a woman for political activism in Saudi Arabia. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. It's at the bottom of the hour. We're going to be joined by a representative from BitChute, and we're going to talk about BitChute today as well as Minds.com. It's important for us to talk about what we can do and ways that we can get around this censorship. And so we're going to do exactly that today. And then in the third hour, we're going to be joined by Lionel as well. So stay with us. We've got a lot of guests who are coming up. I was just talking at the top of the hour about Saudi Arabia about to execute the first woman for supporting a political protest. This is being reported by Sputnik. They say this is the first time the country has carried out capital punishment on a woman for political activism. Political activism. Our allies. And as I said, it is very telling, isn't it, that as we see InfoWars shut down for political activism, as we see Breitbart, Prager, WorldNet Daily, WND, all these conservative libertarian news sites being shut down one way or the other. They have made the most bold move against InfoWars, openly just shutting us down. The other people, they do it secretly. They throttle their traffic or they shadow ban them or whatever. I find it absolutely amazing, the silence coming out of Congress. Not really surprising, considering the fact that you have so many conservatives who are still pushing for sanctions against Russia because of them hacking the election. Everybody knows by now, don't we? Didn't they get the memo about this? Do they not listen to Sean Hannity? I mean, he talks about it every day. Goes down the list of all the usual suspects and what they have done the last day. We know this by now. We don't have to. This is not a conspiracy theory. It is a proven conspiracy fact. And yet, when you look at all of this, and you look at the fact that they have openly now throttled InfoWars after demands from politicians, and everybody pretends, even libertarians will come out there and say, oh, they're private companies, they can do whatever they want. No, this is coming at the demands of CNN, at the demands of the Democrat Party, and so forth. This should be very troubling to Republicans. I don't hear anybody, I haven't noticed anybody in the House Freedom Caucus, for example, talking about this. Where are they? The silence is deafening. I heard Ted Cruz come out. He said, look, I don't like Alex Jones. He criticized me, criticized my father. But he has a right to be there. This is a very troubling situation. Good for him. President Trump didn't mention us by name, but he said this is a very troubling thing. You would think that the Republicans would think this is a very troubling thing. You would think that they would understand the precedent that is happening here and the fact that it's not just happening to us. It's happening in a more subtle, more concealed way. To Breitbart, to WND, to other organizations and individuals. But they're absolutely silent about this. What does the House Freedom Caucus stand for anyway, if they don't stand for freedom of speech? I don't know. So we got our allies who are doing this. And again, the reason I bring that up is that we are so wedded with Saudi Arabia right now, who cuts off more heads than ISIS. But of course, we are allied with ISIS as well. We give them the weapons, we train them, we fund them. Thank you, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and all these neocon Republicans as well as Democrats who are out there pushing that. But I'm very concerned when I see our government supporting terrorists, when I see our government supporting regimes that would execute people for political activism, and then silent about this, not only silent, but pushing it, demanding it, just as the European Union does. The European Union saying, you're going to have 1 hour to take down anybody that we flag. And of course, they will do it. The first few times they do it, it will be for some kind of beheading video done by ISIS. Not a beheading video necessarily by Saudi Arabia, because they're the good beheaders. But it'll be something about Saudi Arabia. And then once they establish that principle, then they will broaden that. Just as they originally used RICO statutes, racketeering and corrupt organization, racketeering influenced corrupt organizations, to come after the mafia. So we can't get a conviction if they've got any assets. So we're going to steal their money first so they can't hire a lawyer, and then we'll get our convictions against them. And then what did they do? Then you wound up having them use RICO statutes against abortion center protesters. You had them put in the asset forfeiture laws where you didn't have to get a conviction. You could steal the property from somebody, never even charge them with a crime, let alone get a conviction. That is the way these things work out. That's why we had a revolutionary war over a tax that was anywhere from 1% to 3%, depending on how the people calculated it. It was a very small tax, but they understood the principle. They understood where that was going to lead. But we don't have people like that in Washington anymore. That's why I don't trust them with a constitutional convention. They are the last people in the world I would trust with, to run a constitutional convention. They won't obey the Constitution they took an oath to. Why would I trust them to rewrite it? Right now, what we have is a legal document that they are in violation of. And that's the only thing that's important about the Constitution at this point, is that it shows that they are crooks. If we allow them to have a constitutional convention and to change that, then we are really going to have a violent revolution to get this thing back. And I hope we don't have to have that. I don't want to see the Constitution changed. I want to see it enforced. And the way you enforce it is to get those crooks out of the district of criminals, the district of corruption. But anyway, we're talking about Muslims. We had a lot of Muslims in Minnesota yesterday at the Viking Stadium. 50,000 Muslims gathered there chanting Allahu Akbar, which is not Allah is great, but it is our God is greater than your God. And this is happening there, right there at Viking Stadium in Minnesota. And of course, Minnesota has become a center of Islamic immigration. A massive number of Somalis. There's so many that it is now called Little Mogadishu by the people who live there. It has become a power center and a center of corruption for people like Keith Ellison. That's why he became the first Muslim congressman, because the concentration of Muslims right there in Minneapolis. In Germany, residents in one small town, I think it is Budstedt, I'm not certain about the pronunciation, they complained that no one recognizes our city anymore. This is a story by Paul Joseph Watson. 1,200 migrants moved in, increasing the population by 26%. See, this is why we call it an invasion. If you have a massive number of people move in, so many so that it is going to change the culture, they're not going to be assimilated. Instead, they're going to create their own culture, their own ghetto. And that's especially true of the Islamic people moving in, because they don't want to mix with the people that they consider to be reprobate and infidels. So they're going to keep to themselves. And as they keep to themselves, that means that they're not going to be improving their standard of living. They're going to be very resentful of the other people that they're living off of, because they're going to have to be on welfare. They're not going to be upwardly mobile in that society because they refuse to mix in with it and to interact in it in a way that would make them successful. And so then that creates a great deal of friction with the next generation that comes along. So here they are, increased. They had 1,200 migrants moved into this small town, increased the population by 26%. Here's what some of them said. It's quite simply the behavior that I object to. For example, in shops, things are stolen. I experienced it myself. Three refugees walking on the pavement, not making enough room for a woman with a pushchair and a child coming in their direction. They make no room. She has to move on the street to get around them. And this is the mayor talking about this. He added, besides that, they leave piles of rubbish and they use every available space to sit around and drink beer while they're living off of welfare. And we just talked about the reaction in Paris, where they set up urinals, open-air urinals that are not screened. I mean, we're talking about open-air urinals, fully exposed. But the good news is it's going to remove the stench of the urine, not the stench of what the people are doing there. But anyway, they said no one recognizes our city anymore. This used to be a beautiful place, a nice place to live. Now it's a little different, and no one knows what the future holds. In another video, they show Germans who are furious at Angela Merkel's policies. One said, I will never vote for you again the rest of my life. That's why, as I reported yesterday, her support, after she barely got a majority, but not enough to put together a ruling coalition. She had to put together a coalition. It took her 6 months to do it. Her popularity after that coalition nearly fell apart. Her popularity continues to plummet. She's now 28%. AFD, the Nationalist Party, has risen to 16%. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and I've got a great article here by Caitlin Johnston. How to get rid of those paranoid conspiracy theorists. Keep hearing that every time. You know, oh, yeah, got rid of it. Alex Jones is paranoid conspiracy theorist. She says with sarcasm, are you sick and tired as I am of all those tinfoil hat-wearing conspiracy nutters who express skepticism Whenever the kind and beneficent U.S. intelligence agencies bestow us with urgent information about a new country in need of regime change, do you want to get rid of that kooky fringe of 74% of the people? It's not a fringe group. Who believe in a deep state that controls the elected government? Well, here's five or six things that you could do, she says. Number one, you could stop lying all the time. What would Alex Jones and Sputnik talk about if the voices in power start to tell the truth all of a sudden, instead of lying about everything? What would we talk about? You could try some government transparency. You know, you could add some transparency into the mix. Because then what would Julian Assange and WikiLeaks have to publish if you were actually honest and transparent about things, right? But you can't do that because you can't stop killing people. That's number three, right? It's hard to be transparent when you're conducting countless military operations all over the planet at any given moment. So we probably have to stop that too, she says. Caitlin Johnston. Number four, stop promoting conspiracy theories yourself. When we got news stories coming out every few days promoting theories about the U.S. president conspiring with the Russian government, it gets a little bit difficult to tell people not to indulge in conspiracy theories. Of course, they have these other conspiracy theories as well. You know, where they had, you ever hear that conspiracy theory about the two planes that caused three steel skyscrapers to collapse in just a couple of hours in their own footprint? Just two planes, but three buildings came down. Oh, yeah. They did it faster than those kind of planes can fly, according to the pilots who fly those planes all the time. And that doesn't even include the other conspiracy theory about the disappearing plane at the Pentagon. The hole that was there was not big enough for that plane. The engines weren't there. All that stuff. Yeah, so we got their own conspiracy theories. It's not just the Russian conspiracy theories. Unproven claims about powerful people conspiring together is exactly the thing that a conspiracy theory is. So maybe you should stop doing that. Or maybe you should make a clear distinction between the authorized conspiracy theories and the unauthorized conspiracy theories that are out there. See, the 9/11 situation, that's a conspiracy theory. These people conspired together. And they conspired to take down three steel skyscrapers with two planes. I just don't believe that's true. And like Sherlock Holmes says, when you eliminate the impossible, whatever you have left, no matter how improbable, is a truth. That's why they call us truthers when we talk about that. Anyway, number five, you can stop being such a-holes. If U.S. intelligence agencies weren't torturing people, they wouldn't have to lie about torturing. If U.S. intelligence agencies weren't surveilling U.S. citizens, they wouldn't have to lie about their surveillance programs. If U.S. intelligence agencies weren't constantly committing horrific atrocities to protect the interests of the powerful, they wouldn't have to lie about that. And then number six, try some democracy for once. Yeah, try not hacking the election by shutting down the free press. How about that? You know, we look at this ban of Prager University. I want to play for you. I was going to play this yesterday. I want to play for you the video that got them banned. Now, they were restated by Facebook after they complained about this, but they got a 99% drop, nearly 100% drop on Facebook. And this is the video that they complained about, talking about making men masculine again. Oh, this is hateful stuff here. I want you to hear this hateful video from Prager about how to make men masculine again. This is why we talk about how subjective hate speech is. But this is the speech that they hate. Let's run the video.
Rape, murder, war. They all have one thing in common. Men. Aggression, violence, ambition unchecked by conscience, all the stuff of toxic masculinity, right? And the solution is obvious. Make men less toxic. Make men less masculine. Make men more like women. But I'm here to tell you that that way of thinking is not only wrong, it's dangerous. Here's why. When you try to make men more like women, you don't get less toxic masculinity. You get more. Why? Because bad men don't become good when they stop being men. They become good when they stop being bad. Aggression, violence, and unbridled ambition can't be eliminated from the male psyche. They can only be harnessed. And when they are harnessed, they are tools for good, not for harm. The same masculine traits that bring destruction also defeat tyranny. The traits that foster greed also build economies. The traits that drive men to take foolish risks also drive men to take heroic risks. The answer to toxic masculinity isn't less masculinity. It's better masculinity. And we know what that looks like. It's a young man opening the door for a girl on their first date. It's a father working long hours to provide for his family. It's a soldier risking his life to defend his country. The growing problem in today's society isn't that men are too masculine. It's that they're not masculine enough. When men embrace their masculinity in a way that is healthy and productive, they are leaders, warriors, and heroes. When they deny their masculinity, they run away from responsibilities, leaving destruction and despair in their wake.
Absolutely right. That was the video that Facebook objected to. That is so hateful. Isn't that hateful? To talk about the difference between good and bad? See, masculinity is not evil. Masculinity can be used for good or for evil, just like a gun. You know, thing stops a bad man with a gun as a good man with a gun. Making that distinction, and it is an important distinction to make, but they don't want that distinction made. That's what they shut them down for. We have an anniversary that is coming up. You know, yesterday was the 1-year anniversary of this show. There is an anniversary that is coming up, as Zero Hedge points out. Actually, this is coming from the Ron Paul Institute. A mind-numbing milestone is coming up in Afghanistan. It said sometime late next year, possibly as early as September, news crews will gather in Afghanistan for a unique event. They'll interview an American serviceman or woman who was not born when the war they are fighting began. He or she will not remember 9/11, won't remember those three buildings that collapsed into their footprint with just two planes. And they will have grown up with wars in Afghanistan and Iraq as background noise. It will be a stark reminder that America has been at war for 225 of the 242 years of its existence. A handful of those conflicts, the defeat of Hitler in Japan, for example, go down as good wars, but most of them go down as operations that cost dearly in blood and treasure for little appreciable result. Since 9/11, these wars have cost the U.S. $6 trillion. This lavish spending is in contrast to the lack of care that veterans get when they return home. The Pentagon may spend $250 million a day since shortly after 9/11, yet support for those coming home is abysmal. Veterans make up 10% of America's homeless population. 250,000 men and women who were once proud to wear the uniform are now sleeping in the rough on the streets. Suicide rates are soaring. The hard truth is that America's military adventures are just that, adventures. And when you look at this story coming out of the VA in D.C., right there in Washington, D.C., flagship Veterans Hospital, rusty medical equipment, bacteria-infected water, infection rates going up instead of down in the bloodstreams and the urinary tracts. One person said, it sounds like the Third World Hospital. If this was a restaurant, it would have been shut down. That's the way the government repays the veterans.
Live from Austin, Texas, it's David Knight.
Welcome back. Joining us now is Ray Vahey. He is the founder of BitChute. And we wanted to give a shout out to Ray and to BitChute. Want to let him tell you about his site, about the videos there, because there is a market for freedom. There is a market for free speech. And he recognized this. They put up their first video back in January 3rd of 2017. So they're about a year and 8 months old. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about this. But he said the thing that inspired them to set this up was because of the bannings, the demonetization, and the tweaking algorithms. And you can find them, of course, at bitchute.com. That's BITCHUTE.com. And we have a channel there, Real News with David Knight. You can find videos. We've been uploading them. And I want to give you a shout out. And thank you, Ray, for posting gratis, posting videos of this show up for the last 6 months or so. You guys already had up there. So appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on the show, and thanks for the shout-out.
Tell us a little bit about BitChute and a little bit about how it works and advantages of it. I mean, it's, of course, freedom is the big idea that is here and the lack of control and censorship. But just tell us a little bit about the site.
Right. First and foremost, we're a site that supports freedom of expression. So anyone onto the site, and we do encourage people of all background, people of all different types of content, and to speak for, and you know, we're what YouTube used to be, the old days where anyone could start a career in video and thrive. And myself personally, I've been watching alternative media, so I really value long ago how much the legacy media, the mainstream media, lie about things, and alternative media is a really important balance. So we really need it, and with all the censorship that's going on, we need a platform that supports it, and BitChute's that.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's what YouTube used to be before Gulag bought it up and turned it into a ghetto to trap people in, and even violating their own terms. Now, do you have any concerns that we just saw some moves against Gab, for example, by Microsoft saying, well, you know, we're hosting Gab and Gab wants to be a free site, but we're going to demand that you take down certain content or we're going to take down the entire site. Are you concerned about something like that at that level?
Yeah, it's already happening to us. We're getting we've been kicked off a payments processor already. We were working with a company called Stripe. For anyone who doesn't know, when you take payments on the internet, you rarely go directly to Visa and MasterCard. There's normally a layer in between. And the company we were using decided one day out of the blue just to kick us off. They sent us an email and gave us a very poor excuse. They wouldn't even take our telephone calls. Mm. We did eventually get a human response from them, and they a very cryptic message. It was, in fact, that their financial partners had forced them to do this. So we never did find out who their financial partners are, but this is the sort of thing that's going on.
Oh, it wouldn't be the banks that would be behind this, behind these big corporations and the censorship, right? The banks are wanting to have this globalist agenda. I'm sure that wasn't anything that had anything to do with it.
Who knows? I mean, for a long time, people have been saying, if you don't like the...
Of course, we're having a little bit of a problem in terms of bandwidth. I think maybe it has frozen at this point. No conspiracy here. We just had a little bit. I think we're going to need to reconnect with Ray because it's coming in and out, and it is now frozen here. So I think we're going to have to reestablish that. You know, as we're looking at this, and again, the news that came out about the fact that Facebook has now a secret user reputation score, do you find that annoying, alarming? Where does that fit on your spectrum? You know, we've got, why is it alarming when China does it, but it's not alarming when we have Facebook do that or Google do that? These are the people who implemented DARPA's life log scheme, where they keep a log of everything you did your entire life, where they would have total information awareness. And now you got Facebook has begun to assign, but of course you're not allowed to see what your number is here. This is Star Chamber censorship. You know, we're talking about Star Chambers. There were the secret courts where you're not allowed to confront your accusers. You were not allowed to know what the charges against you were. One of the first stories that I did when I came here to InfoWars was talk about a guy that was put on a no-fly list. And, you know, he was never able to find out why they put him on the no-fly list. Eventually he got taken off. He thought, but he couldn't get any confirmation of that. We now have Ray Vahey back on with us. So we had a little bit of a shaky, I know you got a little bit of a bad data rate there at the place where you are in the UK right now. Go ahead. I want to continue with what you were saying when we lost contact with you. You were talking about the payment processing issues and how you were being persecuted without any explanation.
Right. So even in the email to us, they confirmed that we hadn't broken any rules, that we hadn't broken any laws, and we are a completely legal company. We abide by all the rules.
Yep, it looks like we lost it again. I thought we had a good one that time. Is he still gone? Okay, he's gone. Well, we're going to try that again. Same thing happened. I just heard him say something, but I think we need to reestablish that contact with him again. But it's exactly the same thing that happened with me. He was at least able to get a human response. I have not been able to get a human response now. 2 weeks and 2 days. I guess it'll be 2 years eventually. I don't think that Google will ever respond to me as to why they took down my channel without warning. And that's one of the things, as people are looking at this process and what is going on with Facebook and with Google and with others. You know, we got, as I said, John Stossel on Fox News Channel said, well, I don't want YouTube to censor people, but that would be their right. Well, that's not what's happening here, John. You've got people that are coming after them, making a complaint and suing them with the Federal Trade Commission because they had rules saying they weren't going to track people under certain circumstances. And then they did it anyway. They violated their own rules. They also had rules because, you know, if we have a business here and we want to use their platform, we'd like to know what the rules are. And so they have certain rules saying you won't do this, you won't do that. They're kind of vague. They talk about things like hate speech and so forth, which they don't define. Nevertheless, they do say that they will give you three strikes and you're out. I didn't get three strikes. I never got one strike. My first strike took me out, and I can't get any explanation from these people. So why is it that you can have a privacy group, you've got Electronic Privacy Information Center, EPIC, writing a letter to the Federal Trade Commission saying Google has violated the terms of their 2011 settlement because they're tracking people. Even after you say, don't track me, they track you if you're using Google Maps and so forth. You've now got a man suing them over tracking them, even when they said they weren't going to track you. So why is it that these companies, and I would ask this to John Stossel and the other doctrinaire libertarians who have blind spots about this kind of stuff, just like they do blind spots about free trade. They don't understand after 25 years how this is not free trade. It is managed trade. Ron Paul said that at the very beginning. He said, you look at the North American Free Trade Agreement, or you look at these other free these other quote unquote free trade agreements. They're not free trade. Free trade just be, we're not going to tax the products that are coming back and forth between our countries. But instead, they're several thousand page agreements. They are managed trade. And these free trade agreements that they're trying to establish that President Trump shut down, that Wall Street and Bloomberg and all these people are so upset about, including some of the libertarian organizations like Reason Magazine, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, Cato Institute loves that as well. That was going to be trade that was going to be managed, not even by an agreement that we made, but it was going to be managed by a supranational organization that was unelected by us, unaccountable to us, and could change the terms of trade at any time that they wanted to favor or to punish any nation that they wished, or to favor or punish any industry within any nation. So it wasn't free trade. And this is not their freedom to shut people down. It's not their freedom to put out a set of rules and then violate those rules without being sued. I mean, if somebody's going to sue them for tracking them on Google Maps, you think we have a case to sue them for trying to shut down our business, to try to take down over 1,400 videos? That's why we're moving to BitChute and these other platforms. BitChute.com. Check it out. Real news with David Knight at BitChute.com. I'm David Knight, and we've got Ray Vahey on the line again. We were talking to him. He's the founder of BitChute. That's BitChute. It is a free speech alternative to YouTube. And I want to give him a shout out. Thank you, Ray, for putting up our videos, 6 months of our videos, without us even asking you to do that here for the Real News with David Knight. And of course, you can find our channel there at bitchute.com, Real News with David Knight. And we were having trouble talking to Ray because he had a bad data connection there. So we've now got him on a voice line to finish up because he was trying to tell us the kind of persecution that they are facing as they're trying to get payments and so forth being cut off by the banks. They were actually able to get somebody, a human, to talk to them. What did they say, Ray?
Well, David, it's really what they told us was that this was not actually the decision of Stripe, the company we were dealing with themselves. They said that it was their financial partners that had forced them to cut us off. And they even acknowledged that we hadn't broken any rules, that we hadn't broken any laws, that actually what we were doing was, you know, perfectly acceptable. As it is, we're just a video company taking payments, so why wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
But for some reason, and we can only assume it's a political reason, someone higher up somewhere just decided they didn't like us.
And of course, we've seen that here in the United States. We've seen bankers, banking companies say, we're not going to do business with people who sell guns or who sell a certain type of gun or who are NRA members or whatever. So they use their financial clout as an institutional boycott. They have done that on political issues here in the United States, not just that, but other things. So it doesn't surprise me that that would happen. Tell us a little bit about how you monetize your site there. You're talking about taking payments. How do you monetize BitChute?
Right. Well, a very interesting thing is that our overheads are a lot lower than YouTube, and we've innovated a way to make this so. We're not a traditional video site. On the front of it, looking in, it looks like a traditional video site, but actually going on in the background, we're using something called BitTorrent, which means that while you're downloading, you're also making peer-to-peer connections to other people who are downloading, and this offsets the costs of running the site in a massive way. You can imagine YouTube, it takes up a massive amount of bandwidth in America, but a comparable thing in America is BitTorrent. We're using this in a completely legal way, in a way that allows us to grow to a huge size, just a fraction of the cost.
Well, that's great. So your bandwidth is somewhat distributed instead of just being centrally located with a client server type of thing. You have distributed that with BitTorrent. That's a great idea.
Exactly. So, it inverts the problem as sites like YouTube grow bigger and bigger. They need more and more servers. But as a video goes viral on our site, it actually is served faster and it's served closer to the source. So it can perform fantastically that way, and a fraction of the cost, as I say. But we are also we're funding the site through subscriptions, so people can sign up to the site and they can subscribe to get extra features, things like extra playlists. We've also got a sort of mug club where people can get merchandise sent to them if they become a long-term subscriber.
I see.
And because our overheads are so much lower, we can also monetize our channels like InfoWars, like your show, and we don't actually have to take a cut. So when someone tips you through BitChute, 100% of that minus whatever processing fees there are goes to you. So it's a fantastic way to come on and support your favorite alt media.
And, well, that's great, because that's what people need to have in order to do that, because we're talking about alternative media. And we fund this operation through products that we sell here at InfoWarsStore.com, but you've got a lot of people out there who are dependent on contributions and things like that to keep. That's the way that they have funded their operation. So you've provided that there with BitChute, and you've kept your costs low. It's very important for people to support these different sites like BitChute. If you go there and create a critical mass, that makes it work for everybody. It's very important to support a free alternative to the gulag. And I can't emphasize this enough, how important this is for you to know about. This is why I wanted to get Ray on to talk about BitChute. That's a great idea. Of course, a lot of voluntary support. If you like what they're doing, putting this out there to fight for a censorship-free platform, a platform where you can go and you can monetize your content and get virtually 100% of it without, you know, just the processing fee that's there. It's a great site set up just to try to support free speech. That's a great idea, Ray.
Thank you very much. And we're getting so much traction lately. The site has just grown and grown. I mean, we've got users now with over 25,000 followers. I think our largest is over 27,000, and people are just joining by the thousands each day. So
that's great. That's great. That's great. Well, we're going to pass our site out there. We hope everybody will go there and find Real News with David Knight. Subscribe to our channel there at BitChute. That's BitChute.com. Ray Vahey, who founded this just back in January of 2017, January the 3rd, 2017, they uploaded their first video. Great idea. And he is out there offering you an alternative that is supporting freedom of speech. Are you going to support that? That is the question. Thank you so much, Ray. And we're going to tell you about supporting InfoWars here before we get to the end of the segment here. And then I've got a little bit more news to talk about. And then we've got coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Minds.com and also to Lionel at the bottom of the hour. But just to tell you how we monetize our program here, and if you want to join in and support us with that, again, you can make contributions and buy merchandise that BitChute sells. Great way to support them. If you want to support InfoWars, it's the products that we sell at InfoWarsStore.com. And we have dropped a lot of prices there, a great deal. A lot of things are 40 to 50% off at the site. And we have provided free shipping domestically on all the items there at InfoWarsStore.com. Here's some examples. BrainForce Plus, 40% off plus free shipping. Secret 12, our vitamin B12, and Winter Sun, our vitamin D product. Both of those are 40% off plus free shipping. Again, it's not a combo pack. You can get them individually, 40% off plus free shipping. Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, 40% off plus free shipping. All the Super Blue products, that's our two flavors of toothpaste as well as mouthwash and other dental products that have nano silver. They don't have fluoride. They've got the good halogen iodine in them, and they have nano silver, which fights bacteria and virus. Of course, bacteria can cause gum disease. It leads to tooth loss as well as to heart disease. You can get all of those Super Blue products with nano silver in them, 50% off plus free shipping. Take a look at the products that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this program and everything that we do here at InfoWars. We really do appreciate your support. Going back to what we were talking about as I got onto this subject as we lost contact with Ray, the whole idea that Stossel would come out and he'd say, you know, look at what YouTube is doing now. If you talk about global warming or something that they don't agree with, they will go to Wikipedia and they will put a footnote underneath your video. Well, I don't think that's really going to be very effective for them against a video. But they're not telling people that they're doing that. Some people notice, hey, look, they put this, they're spamming me here or photobombing my video with a disclaimer here saying that I'm a liar. Well, let people decide for themselves. Wikipedia is just a bunch of people getting together, and it's whoever has the most energy in terms of shutting down the other editors that gets to put what is true there. But he says, okay, so it's one-sided, but it's their private entity. They can do what they want. Well, how about this, John Stossel? What if Google were to make you disappear from the internet? What if they were to do that? They've done that to Chinese dissidents. They physically make them disappear, and then they wipe them from the internet. Would you be okay with that? And when we look at what is happening, let's play a little bit of that video from John Stossel. You guys have got that there. Let's play video clip number 9.
So what does it tell you when the people in charge don't allow dissent on a topic? What does it tell you about them? Why wouldn't they allow a free debate if they're so confident that they're right?
But to be fair, they're allowing the debate. They're not censoring me. They're just saying,
they're not censoring him.
That this
okay. So it's okay if they censor other people. They're not censoring him, so he's okay.
Misleading you about global warming, and you better check Wikipedia. So I'm happy. Look, they can censor anybody they want. It's a private platform.
Has he got his head up his behind or what? Does he not know what's happened the last couple of weeks? Maybe they're not talking about this much at Fox News. I don't know. But like I said before, you've got somebody running a toll road and they say, if you've got a Trump bumper sticker on, you're not going to get on my road. And I own the roads now because the government says so. That's what they're doing with Amazon. Amazon is basically ruling the power grid.
In a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And now, your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight. As I said, coming up in this hour, we're going to be talking to the founder of Minds.com. We just talked to Ray Vahey, who founded BitChute. And you can find our channel there, Real News with David Knight. You can subscribe to that. And if you are a content creator, they have a great way for you to monetize that. It is a free alternative that is being set up to the oligarchs who are trying to control the internet. And that's one of the things that I'm very disturbed to see journalists who should know better, political observers who should know better, like John Stossel arguing with Tucker Carlson that this isn't anything that's worrying because this is a private property right of Google. It's like, well, they're not banning me. I'm okay with that. You know, they're just putting up notes on my climate change videos saying that they don't agree with me. And it's their site, so they can do that. Well, what if they do ban you, John? What if they make you disappear, just like Google is doing for their government tyrant masters in China? What if they make you disappear like they made Alex Jones and me disappear? What if they don't obey their rules? What if you've got a business model? Let's say that you're not just selling pharmaceuticals at Fox News. What if you're out there and you've got a business model that depends on your videos being up on YouTube, and they've got certain rules and you expect them to abide by those rules? You've got people who are complaining to the Federal Trade Commission, as well as people who are suing Google for violating their rules for tracking people. They say, we're not going to track people. And then they, the Associated Press and others said, yeah, they are storing your locations, even if you turn off the privacy setting. You turn that off, turn off the tracking and the privacy setting. So what did they do? Did they stop doing that? No, Google went back and then they changed the page. So they said, oh yeah, we're tracking you now. And see, that's the insidious part of this. It isn't that they look at this and say, well, you know, that's kind of creepy to track people all the time. Eric Schmidt said, we're going to go right up to the edge of creepy and maybe a little bit over. And it is a little bit over. It's a lot over to track people all the time, even when they tell you, don't track me. But now they've got it buried in their disclaimers. Well, where did they bury the disclaimer that said that they could shut me down with a complaint, never explain it to me, never give me a warning, but shut me down? And you're okay with that, John Stossel? I guess you agree with the golden rule, right? He who has the gold rules. They make the rules. They can do whatever they want. They can break the rules whenever they want. I'm not fine with that. I'm not fine with what Amazon is doing. This article that came out over the weekend. Amazon isn't paying its electric bills. You might be. This is on Bloomberg. And what they were talking about was a fight in Virginia. Basically, Amazon wanted to set up one of their data centers that were going to run power lines through a Civil War battlefield. The people who were there in the residential area said, we don't want to have that happen. It's an eyesore. It's a historical site. We don't want that to happen. So they fought it, and they talked to an 87-year-old lady. She and her neighbors fought that. They beat Amazon and said, no, you're not going to run the stuff through there. Said, okay, fine. We'll bury it. And then they said, well, it's going to cost $172 million. And we went to the Virginia legislature and we got them to allow us to pass that on to you people, you people. And so they don't know how much that's going to cost them on a monthly basis, but they're going to be subsidizing that for Amazon. And that's happening everywhere. As I pointed out many times, this happens with the NFL. They go in and they build these stadiums. Talking about this, this big Muslim rally in Minnesota. 50,000 Muslims shouting, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, in the Viking Stadium. Well, you know, that stadium was built a few years ago. It cost $500 million. Guess who paid for it? The taxpayers of Minnesota. Even though the state of Minnesota was heavily in debt, I think it was about $1.5 billion in debt, and they went into debt another $500 million to build that stadium. You got a stadium that's coming in L.A., and that's going to be, I think, a $4 billion stadium. So all of us, as individuals, as small business owners, we have to pay for the business infrastructure of these billionaires, especially the richest billionaires like Jeff Bezos. We'll be right back.
It's the real news. Live from the Infowars.com studios in Austin, Texas, it's your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and we're going to be talking in this segment to Bill Ottman. He is an American internet entrepreneur and a freedom of information activist. He's based out of New York City. He is the CEO and co-founder of Minds.com. It's an open source social networking platform. It went public in June of 2015. You can find them at Minds.com. That's Minds.com, and also on Twitter at Minds. And I wanted to talk to Bill Ottman because, you know what we're going to do? We're going to transcend this centralized control grid of Google and Facebook and Twitter and Apple and Microsoft. We're going to transcend these people, and we're going to do it with entrepreneurs like Bill Ottman, like Ray Vahey and others. And so I'm welcoming here Bill Ottman of Minds.com. Thank you so much, Bill, for joining us today. Tell us a little bit about Minds.com.
Thanks for having me, David. Well, we are a decentralized social networking platform for internet freedom. So basically, we take the positive technological advancements that modern social networks have made, but the foundational principles, we basically do the exact opposite because we have principles. So, you know, with regards to transparency, privacy, monetization, and free speech, I mean, they're essentially doing all of those things backwards, and I think it's starting to hurt them.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a pushback against them. And, you know, we look at things like MySpace, and you realize that, you know, Twitter or Facebook, they can go the way of MySpace. They used to have something of a monopoly. They don't anymore. These things can change very rapidly. They're destroying their business model with this censorship that they're doing out there. But tell us a little bit about your network. You say it's a social networking platform. Tell us what people can do there and how you're structured.
So the main differentiator is that you earn these crypto tokens for your contributions every day. It's an Ethereum-based token. And so for the engagement you receive, for the referrals you make, for how active you are, you're earning tokens. You can use those tokens to boost your content for more impressions. You can also send them peer-to-peer to other users. You can subscribe monthly to other users and help crowdfund people. We were just looking at the insane algorithms that have been implemented on Facebook and now Twitter and everywhere, and obviously YouTube, where they're restricting reach. So while, you know, years ago you could actually reach your followers on Facebook, now you're only reaching a few percent of them organically. And I mean, this is just ridiculous. This is why we spend so much time building up audiences on these platforms, but then they just swipe that out from underneath you. So,
yeah, like Prager, you know, University, they shut down 99.99% of their engagement just overnight over one video. And there was, we played that video earlier. There was nothing at all objectionable about that. They didn't agree with it politically, so they just shut them off. And they did it in a very subtle, devious way. I mean, you know, at least for InfoWars, it just unabashedly came out and said, we're just taking you off the internet. I mean, you know, that's pretty bold and that's pretty arrogant. And I guess that's troubling because they are so open about it. But they've been shadow banning people and they've been disconnecting them from their audience very secretly over quite some period of time.
Yeah,
but you're not going to do that.
Yeah, well, we can't stress the importance of free and open source software. And, you know, a lot of people aren't familiar with the differentiation between free and open source and proprietary software. Essentially, it's just anyone can read our code, inspect it, modify it, change, you know, take it, do their own thing with it. But you can ensure that by looking at our code that we're not enacting these crazy algorithms and surveillance features. None of the major proprietary social networks share any of their main software base. So we think the next paradigm, it has to be open source and it has to at least be moving towards decentralization, which is why we're leveraging new technologies that are more peer-to-peer, like WebTorrent and the blockchain, so that people's browsers can actually help the processing power of the network, and so that we're less reliant on huge centralized servers as well.
Well, that's great because, you know, what we've seen here as it's come out the last couple of days that Facebook is doing their own trustworthy rating of users, but you're not even allowed to see what your rating is, let alone what the algorithm is. So what you're saying is that you're not rating people and you are putting out, not secretly, you don't have some secret list of people that are going to be deplatformed, but even your code, as far as the way the website is set up, is open source, so anybody is free to go in there and inspect it.
Yeah, I think we're moving in towards much more of a consent-based ethos and expectation from users where, look, you know, so you go to Facebook, they're spying on you, there's nothing you can do about it. You cannot go into your privacy settings and have Facebook stop spying on you. How it should be is that you have nothing tracking you unless you want it to, because maybe you want some sort of tailored results. But we're going to start hearing this phrase consent-based a lot more. And I just wanted to follow up on something you said in the beginning about, you know, how we're essentially voluntarily carrying around Big Brother in our pocket now. Yep. It's not that obvious, but you know, you mentioned how Google is following people around, and then rather than stopping the feature, which even after you turn it off, they keep following you, they just, you know, make it more clear in the text. But, you know, this sort of just disregard for people's rights, we're reaching the tipping point. And that's why we're seeing with these censorship events that it's causing a flood to the alternatives. So, you know, censorship really doesn't even work.
And we're talking to Bill Ottman again. It's minds.com, M-I-N-D-S.com. And, you know, Bill, when you're talking about the consent and the, what Google did here, I think is indicative of what is really troublesome to a lot of people. When you get these long lists, oh, we have changed our user agreement. Before you can use us, you know, read this 20-page legal agreement, you know, or just click on this button saying that you understand this and you approve of this. And, of course, nobody's going to sit there and read this long agreement. And that's the way they sneak this stuff. Everything about it is deceptive, it's underhanded, it's hidden. And that's why when you talk about, hey, look, we've even got our code here that people can inspect, that's why that's so refreshing. Talk to us a little bit about what you've done in terms of decentralizing the, you know, the torrenting and so forth. Because the concern that a lot of us have are the people who are the internet service providers or the platforms like Microsoft, as they raised that threat against Gab last week, trying to say, shut down these users, or we're going to shut you down. Tell us a little bit about that and how you're set up.
Yeah, I mean, the good news is that all of these events are causing the alternatives to emerge. It's like necessity is the mother of invention. And so there's interesting protocols, obviously blockchain, but things like IPFS and DAT, and there's a new browser called the Beaker browser, which we're looking at, which is fascinating. Basically, it allows you to connect peer-to-peer directly to others in the network so that the centralized providers aren't even actually required. And these are evolving really rapidly. So, but I think that there's a balance between centralization and decentralization. To a degree, sometimes you want centralization because then, for instance, you can more easily delete content. In certain circumstances, when, you know, it's on the blockchain, which is immutable, you cannot delete from the blockchain. So you sort of, I think having both options is necessary, and just, you know, therefore not being controlled by some third party that isn't even your own company.
You know, I think you're onto something here with this decentralization, because there was an article from George Gilder. This is a guy, he's fairly old now, but he was a real forward thinker. Steve Jobs, he predicted the kind of digital economy that Steve Jobs created. He put their articles around for his people to read. But he's now talking about how the fatal conceit that is going to take down companies like Google and others is going to be the centralization, because they have built this around centralized control. And that is the same kind of mindset of control that we see out of the Marxists. And it is something that makes them very vulnerable. And I think your site, minds.com, you understand that it's going to be the decentralization that is going to give us freedom, that the centralization is going to be used to control us, whether it's controlling us politically or controlling us economically or with a government control or with these people who want to govern the internet. Again, we've been talking to Bill Ottman. Thank you so much, Bill. The site is minds.com, and you can find them on Twitter at minds. It's all about decentralization. That is going to be the path to freedom. We are going to transcend the controller. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Lionel will be joining us at the bottom of the hour. As we look at what is being put into place, and I hear some people, like I pointed out, John Stossel, it's okay, you know, Google, they can do whatever they want. Yeah, I've noticed, they can do whatever they want. They're going to face some legal actions, they're going to face some criminal complaints of the government, FTC complaints, they're going to face a lawsuit from people because they violated their rules just on tracking them. What about shutting down entire news organizations in violation of their own rules? I never received and still have not received an explanation as to one violation. I have gotten 1,400 emails that say, a complaint has been received and your channel has been deleted. I've had that same email 1,400 times sent to me. Nobody will respond. I have filled out their form. I have tweeted them I've asked for an explanation. No humans will talk to me. And here we have in China, we've got China destroys sassy bots after they bash communism. Yeah, they don't like the way that these bots are criticizing President Xi and other things. So they just take them down. In the same way that over the weekend, we had President Xi taking down posters of Jesus because he doesn't like the competition. See, ultimately, this is where this is headed, folks. Ultimately, they're going to come after your freedom of religion because that's why they put... the founders understood how these things are connected. Your political speech is tied to your religious freedom and so forth because the people who want to be tyrants can't stand the competition. And they don't like people who have a value system that is outside of the one that they try to impose on people. So they have to take down Christians. They have to take down anybody who is outside of their political party because that is their religion. And so even when you've got a robot that's going out there, you think such a corrupt and incapable politics can last a long time? After a second user tapped out the message, long live the Communist Party, and so forth. So they take these things down. They're going to be tanking their own stock market. They are spying. We've reported on this before. They're spying on American soil here, spying on students who are attending college here or other things. They're going to be using their capability to spy on people living in the United States. And we have L.A. rolling out the body scanners for the subways. As I tweeted out over the weekend, TSA was never the Airport Security Administration. It was always about transportation. We talked about the Viper teams. We talked about that years ago. Oh, look, they're shaking people down at bus stops and so forth. We said this is going to be done to every form of transportation. Move, shoot, communicate. That's the tactic in the military. You know, well, that's the way the people fight. They shoot, they move, they communicate. And that's what they work on as far as a tactic. But it is also a strategy for controlling a population. If you can take away our Second Amendment, our ability to shoot, if you can take away our First Amendment abilities to communicate, and again, our freedom to defend ourselves, our freedom to speak, our freedom to exercise a religion, they're not given to us by the Constitution or the Bill of Rights. The Bill of Rights and the Constitution are there to prohibit the government from taking those God-given human rights that we have. Just as reported the last couple of days, the guy who was the Google scientist in China, he used to be head of free expression. He doesn't work for them anymore. They don't have anybody in that position at Google because they don't care about free expression at Gulag anymore. They're working with the Chinese communists. And now they're going to be putting this on every form of transportation. When they talk about doing this at the subway, this is why I said it is so imperative for them when they control you by packing you and pushing you into their ghettos, into their gulags that they call smart cities. When they push you into that, because Google, again, in Toronto, I'll mention it again, Sidewalk Labs, they're working there in a public-private partnership, just like they're working in a public-private partnership to censor the internet, to censor InfoWars. It is fascism. It is the merging of giant corporations with giant government to control the population. And they're not just going to do it on cyberspace. They're going to do it in physical space. That's what the smart cities are about. That's why they're working on this plan in Toronto. They're not just going to do it in China. They're already doing it here to some degree. They're doing it secretly. They're doing it subversively. They're doing it without telling you. But then, like we saw yesterday, it eventually comes out with Facebook. Oh, look, they're doing the same thing the Chinese government is doing. And when you've got LA saying, we're going to start using these TSA-like body scanners, that's what all the smart cars are about. It's controlling not only the way that you, your ability to defend yourself, but then looking at everything that you say or do, mapping you out, as we've said before, geospatial intelligence, the fastest growing part of the surveillance state that we have here in America. And who was it that was the head of geospatial intelligence? It was James Clapper. That's why they put him in as DNI, because he was the guy who had been in charge of the fastest growing part. So, of course, he's going to be there. Human domain analytics, activity-based intelligence, tracking you everywhere you go, mapping you everywhere you go. That's why they want the self-driving cars. That's why they want to take away your ability to move about freely and anonymously. It's not enough that they've got these tracking devices that you freely accept. They realize that if they give you a little Black Mirror to look into and little, you know, things that you can play with and turn it into a busy box, you will, as they pointed out in the NSA slides. See if you guys can find that slide. I talk about this all the time. It was something that got a lot of attention in Europe, but most people didn't report it here in the United States because as part of the stash of files that Ed Snowden leaked out, they leaked these out to Der Spiegel in Germany, and it was three slides that said everything for the NSA. They said, who would have thought in 1984, and they show that iconic picture of 1984 that Apple used. They played it once in the Super Bowl to introduce the Macintosh. And they said, who would have thought in 1984 that this would become Big Brother? And then they show Steve Jobs holding up his iPhone. And then the third slide is, and that there they are right there. And that they would line up to pay for Big Brother. That's the third one there. And they show the people in the lines at the Apple store lining up to pay for it. And so now you got Big Brother Apple under Tim Cook. I don't know that Steve Jobs would have done this. Maybe he would. But they didn't join the PRISM program. Microsoft was the first company to join that PRISM program. Apple didn't join that program until after Steve Jobs died. Maybe that's why he died. I don't know. I don't have any proof of anything. I'm not starting a conspiracy theory about that. But, you know, when we look at what is happening, we have Chinese bombers training for U.S. strikes, say the Pentagon, and, of course, they have set up this artificial island right off the coast of the Philippines. They're threatening the Philippines, and they're threatening anybody that flies over these islands that they've now turned into fortified military devices. And I think this is very interesting. This came out the last couple of days, came out over the weekend. China was famous for its one-child policy. As a matter of fact, that's why we adopted my daughter, because of the way that they treat their children there. And they had a one-child policy. They were even in some areas doing forced abortions, dragging people off. They had a blind dissident. As you're talking to the Western press, they come in and they beat him up and they drag him off. But now they've gone 180 degrees in the other direction. Now they've realized that they created a demographic time bomb. And I talked about this when we went there. I said, do you realize that they're sending off all their daughters or putting them into slavery or whatever and encouraging people to abort them when they have they find out what sex they are? I said, look at this imbalance that they got with men. And now they're setting up a situation where if you're under 40, 45, yeah, under 40, you got to pay a massive tax. You'll get that back if you have children. So now they're incentivizing people.
Let's make government small enough to fit in the Constitution. It's The Real News with your host, David Knight.
Welcome back. I'm David Knight, and joining us now is Lionel. He's not only an Emmy Award-winning TV news decoder, but he is also a legal analyst, licensed trial lawyer, former prosecutor. So we want to ask him about these legal time bombs that have been dropped on us, one after the other yesterday. As everybody is looking at what happened with the Manafort conviction, as well as with Cohen's plea bargaining. And, of course, you can find Lionel on YouTube, Lionel Nation, also LionelMedia.com, and on Twitter at Lionel Media. Joining us now is Lionel. Lionel, what's going on with this Manafort and Cohen thing? President Trump is out there saying this is not a crime that he's pled guilty to. What's your take on all this?
Nothing. It's no big deal. Thank you very much. Tune in next week for more of Much Ado About Doo-Doo. It's nothing. David, I want you to imagine something. Right now, hypothetically, I know this is hard for anybody to believe, but let's assume you are quite the Lothario and you have a just a passels of women in your wake that you would like to have go away. Not nefariously. But you
not in a Bill Clinton sense, right?
No, no, no.
Just disappear.
But, oh, no. No Arkin sighting or whatever it is. But you just decide right now, citizen, you can say, look, I'll make a deal with you. I'll quiet you up. And that's fine. It's done all the time. Non-disclosure agreements, NDA, it's done every day. I can do it. You can do it. I can be your lawyer. It's nothing. You can go up and you can go to somebody at a drive-through Arby's and say, listen, I'm going to pay you $2,500 if you don't tell anybody I was here. Fine, go ahead. It's legal. Now, then let's take what was legal But this time we have now David Knight, the candidate. David Knight, the candidate. Same situation. You're running for office. And you say, oh, by the way, I was in the middle of paying these people off. Complete this. What they're suggesting now is, oh, wait a minute. Now this benefits your candidacy. And that, which had to be just not really reported per se because it wasn't illegal, it was a private contract, but now it's subject to FEC disclosure because it benefits your campaign. And I respectfully submit, no, not really. I mean, you could argue anything that you do, anything. Hey, David, you're running for office. Listen, might be a good idea for you to lose a few pounds. Here's a gym membership. Do you know how crazy this sounds? This is not what they intended. So you've got two cases here, and I want everybody to understand this. Manafort, and by the way, notice how the names are pronounced. I think Dershowitz might say Manafort. Hannity says Cohn versus Cohen, or George M. Cohan. You pick the name you want. But assuming we're talking about Paul Manafort, what he did antedated, predated anything involving President Trump.
It was years before.
This was Ukraine. This was Yanukovych. He was acting as like everybody does. It's no big deal. Okay, fine. That was that. And what he did was wrong. Bad Manafort. Bad. Okay, nothing to do with Trump. Now, Cohen comes along, and the point was well made by Mark Levin and others that Lanny Davis may have allowed, some may submit, may have allowed his client to plead guilty to something that wasn't even a crime.
Yeah, exactly.
So nobody understands, you know, what this thing means. Mm-hmm. And it just goes to show you that unless we have a legitimate, verified, verity-based, what used to be mainstream media, people are thinking that this is the end of Trump. This is somehow he's pled guilty to something Trump has. No, this is much ado about nothing.
It's like an indictment, you know, an impeachment is like an indictment. And so you have the one person saying, well, this is all they'll ever need for impeachment. And it's like, no, what they need for impeachment is a Democrat majority. And if they get a Democrat majority, they will invent this. You know, the old thing about the ham sandwich. I said, well, this is being done with rye, spelled W-R-Y, because this is a sneer and a wink at people saying, hey, we're going to do it. We'll use whatever justification we can come up with, no matter how tenuous this is. And we're talking about Lanny Davis. This quote from him, it's not just about the obvious possibility of a conspiracy, Lionel, a possibility of a conspiracy to collude. So now we don't have collusion. We have the possibility of a conspiracy to collude.
Right.
It's like you talk to somebody and say, hey, you know what? We could talk to the Russians. And he goes, nah, I don't think so. Okay. We won't do it. And then that's a conspiracy to collude, a possible conspiracy to collude.
That's like years ago, there was a joke that, assault is an attempted battery. So therefore there's no such thing as an attempted assault because that would be an attempted battery. So this is the attempt to this is so attenuated. I don't even know where we're going with this. Okay. Now that notwithstanding, you know, David, recently my wife and I were out traveling about, tooling about this great land of ours in what will be called the Old West. I mean, places like Chugwater, Wyoming. I mean, God's country.
Yeah.
And I went to some places, and I'm looking around, and it was so heartening to get out of New York and just go somewhere. And I'm telling you, David, I mean, I went to a Mexican store. I'm not going to tell you where, but it looked like, I said, these are real cowboys. He goes, honey, no, I'm serious. These are actual cowboys with Wranglers. And I'm looking around here. I said, do you think any of them know anything about any of this stuff? About a collusion, about whatever it is. This president, and by the way, he's got to do something. He's got to be aggressive. He's got to charge Hillary Clinton with something. He's got to, what I'm going to also say, we need to formally go after a formal process to strip the Vatican of whatever sovereign immunity, go after these people in a civil racketeering, because what I'm doing is, this is a hornet's nest. We want to step on this, and it goes everywhere. But
Yes, you're right. And you know, before we move on from that, Lionel, yeah. I had Representative Rossi out of Pennsylvania. He ran for office to fix this because he was abused by a priest at a young age, at 13 years old, and he couldn't deal with it, and he didn't say anything about it for many years. And that's the issue. It's the statute of limitations. Everybody that you talk to about this, that's part of the Survivors Network of those abused by priests or other clergy or whatever, or politicians. It's the statute of limitations. And right now they have the opportunity to do something about that because it is so big in Pennsylvania. And he's really the tip of the spear. If he can get something done there, if they can get something done in Pennsylvania because all this stuff blew up, that could set a precedent that could trickle out across this country, which is really what needs to happen. That's what happened in Australia. That's why they've got Cardinal Pell there facing charges, because they got rid of their statute of limitations. That's what protects these politicians and these other pedophiles who are doing this kind of stuff.
Well, a couple of things also. Let me just explain. This is not about Catholicism. I am, I tell people, just as you know, I'm a retired Catholic. And growing up in Tampa, I went to Villa Madonna, went to Sacred Heart, I went to St. Lawrence, went to Jesuit High School. I mean, I have never been, nobody has ever laid a hand on me. I have nothing but respect for, especially the nuns. But this is not about Catholicism or the theology. This is about what amounts to a racketeering enterprise, a systemic, institutionalized, I guess a predation factory enterprise with cover-ups and the like. I know that's different than what we said initially, but the president's got to go out there and understand one thing too. America does not care anything about this. And let me also explain, did you also see how they are marginalizing this Molly Tibbetts? Oh, some girl was just... girl.
Yeah.
I mean, if this is not the, I don't know what it is, in Brooklyn, Iowa, 1400, you mean to tell me this is, if this is not the poster child?
Yes.
Both of these people. For what needs to be
done? That's what I said. You know, the people on the Beltline are talking about Cohen, and yet the people outside are really talking about Molly Tibbetts. That's really hits them where they live. And that is the visceral story that is going to help President Trump. We're going to be right back with Lionel. Stay with us. I'm David Knight. Welcome back. I'm David Knight. We're talking to Lionel. Again, you can find Lionel on YouTube, Lionel Nation. Also on Twitter, at Lionel Media. Before we go back to Lionel, I just want to tell you real quickly where you can find the products that support this broadcast. We have a big sale in response to the tech giants working together to remove us from the internet. We have dropped prices 40 to 50% on most of our most popular products and put in free shipping store-wide for domestic orders. And let me give you an idea of some of these products. BrainForce Plus, my favorite supplement, 40% off plus free shipping. Super Male Vitality, Super Female Vitality, 50% off. DNA Force Plus, 50% off, plus free shipping. And again, that is a very expensive product for us to produce. That is a big dollar savings. All the Super Blue products, the two flavors of toothpaste, the mouthwash, so forth, with Nano Silver, all of those products, 50% off, plus free shipping. We have Survival Shield X2 Nascent Iodine, our Secret 12, our vitamin B12, and our Winter Sun vitamin D. All three of those products individually, you can buy them 40% off plus free shipping. Take a look at the specials that we have at InfoWarsStore.com. That's what funds this program and keeps us going in the face of all this censorship coming from the world's largest corporations that have now teamed together to try to deplatform us within a 12-hour period. But we're still here. And, you know, Lionel, as I look at this and I look at the charges against President Trump, and again, they're saying, well, we got all we need. They never did need anything to impeach President Trump except a majority. And once they get that majority, they will proceed to do that. Of course, there'll be a trial then in the Senate, and so they'll need to have a majority in the Senate. This will just be politically determined. And as we look at these things and they're saying, well, you know, felony was committed here or there, as you're pointing out, it's a very, very shaky situation here. Whether or not there even was a crime. But, of course, we all commit multiple felonies every day. A guy wrote a book on that a couple of years ago. Have you committed your three felonies per day? Because if you really want to get somebody, that's why these special counsels and prosecutors are so dangerous, because we have such a complicated and numbers of laws. I mean, we've got like 80,000 regulations that are put out there by the bureaucracy every year. we have such a large volume of laws that anybody can be hammered for this kind of stuff if you go after somebody with a fine-tooth comb. And that's what we see with these financial crimes and with these election crimes.
I'm sorry, would you please repeat that?
Yeah,
I'm kidding. Okay. That's like a 25-minute
bit of a rant,
introduction. Huh? My God. No, you're very, very good. Now, a couple of things here. First and foremost, question number one, can you impeach somebody on what happened before he became president? I mean, I'm serious. How far can we go by? Hey,
before
Knight,
he even worked with you. How about that? Yeah.
Right. But this is before. It's like, wait a minute. You're going to impeach me because what? Yes, because you were working with Manafort for 100 days. You know, his expertise was working the floor and working conventions and doing something. 100 days.
Right.
What am I supposed to do with that? Okay, fine. You're going to impeach me now. And by the way,
that's an important point you made there. The fact that he was brought in because there was a mutiny within the Republican Party saying we're going to steal the nomination from the voters at the convention. So they brought in Paul Manafort. That was his expertise. It wasn't out there about manipulating, the public opinion with using the Russians or whatever the phony conspiracy theory is.
But also keep in mind, and let me just go back because I've got a lot of, by the way, you know, Eric Brenn, the man with the plates, is my hero. I've got a million plates going on here. Explain this. I've got this guy, hypothetically, assume arguendo, somebody from Venus comes here, some Venusian. And I'm saying, now let me explain something to you. We're going after Trump for something he did maybe before he was president. What? I know. It gets better. Now you've got Al Sharpton. Al Sharpton owns how many millions? He's stiff people. I mean, he is this guy.
He doesn't get any respect. R-E-S-P-I-E-C-T.
R-E-S-P-I-C-T. Talk about rudimentary. Wow. Anyway. So you got that. You got the Obama administration also had some problems with various campaign problems. You had Timothy Geithner, remember him? And you've got they tried to pull this stuff with John Edwards, where they tried to go after him because of paying off a mistress or whatever it was in campaign. That was the not guilty and a hung jury. You've got Hillary Clinton, who let me just go through that litany. But no, Paul Manafort and Papadopoulos. And Flynn and Gates and who? What's this about? Now, the other thing is that the Constitution, which is this is the rule book. You may not like it, but this is it. This is the rule book. For me to go after and target prosecute somebody. Imagine, David, going into a physician. And you said, what are you here for, Mr. Knight? Here for a checkup. Want me to find something wrong? What? You want me to find something wrong with you? No matter how trivial, I'll find something wrong. You better believe it. Here, I'll just write. I can believe me. No, that's not the point. I'm symptom free. I don't want you to come out. Oh, I'll find something. Oh, you want me to bill that insurance? Oh, I'll do it. I'm going to indict you in terms of your health. I will find something wrong with you. Or did you ever go like somebody says, listen, I need an excuse. Oh, I'll fill something in. That's what this is. This is target prosecution. This is Mueller trying to justify his existence, doing a Hail Mary and hoping through all hope that Manafort or somebody flips, turns, does something, or can create in the minds of the factions of a country that doesn't really understand, who thinks that somehow this is tantamount to a real charge with real substantiated charges against this president. Now, you also brought something up. You know, Gerald Ford said that whatever a majority of the House agrees to, that's a basis for impeachment. And impeachment is to charge. Conviction in the Senate, but impeach in the House. Now, there's also no judicial review. So when Alan Dershowitz says, no, there must be a crime. Au contraire, Herr Professor. Sorry, there is no review. Not only that, I specifically researched, can you actually impeach something or somebody for something to happen prior to? The House writes its own rules. David, this is not judicial. This is political. It's their rule. It's like, can your country club throw you out? I guess. Well, there's no review of that either. So this is very shaky ground. And I don't think they would be that stupid enough to even try a conviction. And I don't know if most people realize that conviction is not the same as impeachment. The two are completely different. But meanwhile, I'm telling you, in the middle of the country, The people, because you've got three groups of people. One group who hates Trump no matter what he does. One group who loves Trump no matter what. And sometimes they can be a little scary, too, because I'm thinking, don't lose your discriminating eye here. He still works for us. He's a great guy and everything, but he's not perfect, believe me, because he said some whoppers. He wants to give the death penalty to drug abusers. I don't know what Jeff Sessions is doing. I don't know. Remember when he said, I'm on a team with Bobby Kennedy, and we're going to get to the bottom of this connection between vaccines and autism. What happened with that one? What happened with the whole birth certificate? Did he just forget about that? Can he appoint a blue ribbon panel? So that being said, but to the Americans who might be swayed or might not vote, they're going to say, you know what, he's doing a tremendous job, especially we need a Molly's Law. I don't know if they've done it yet, but we always name, tragically, some law after some victim of something. This is Molly Tibbetts, unfortunately, is going to be the poster child for and the scene of this girl who is in Brooklyn, Iowa, a town of 1,400. We're not talking about some big border town. We're not talking about L.A. or whatever. No.
San Francisco. You're not talking about San Francisco or something. Yeah.
Right. And this, to show you the brazen, this guy went after her like an animal tracks its prey. I mean, this was just horrid. So that's one thing. But going back to this, the Americans are going to say, I like what he's done. North Korea. And let me tell you the big one. And this was really kind of soft soaped a little bit. If the president could somehow remind the world that we have no business being in Afghanistan, either to protect poppy fields or to protect the country with the largest lithium veins the planet. If he can finally get us out of there, he will have
been sent there to provide raw products for Tesla.
Yes, exactly. I think Elon's going to need some raw. Where is that?
He'll be out of business before we ever get out of Afghanistan. That'll be for sure.
Well, you know what's funny about this, David, is we're finding out that these Potemkin village type of straw men, these make-believe central casting nerd types, who all of a sudden take these, hey, you want to be in charge of SpaceX? Who? Yeah, sure. Yeah, okay. Want to be in charge of Facebook? Yeah. I got to wear a T-shirt? Yeah. Okay, whatever. These people that we're picking, we're finding out maybe they should have perhaps gone through central casting review a little bit better before we handed off this fictional corporation to them. That notwithstanding, America knows better. And the voting population of this country knows better, and they're not fooling anyone.
That's right.
This I know.
And so that it's all going to turn on this election. Again, it's back to that. And that is why it is so important for them to control the debate, to make sure that you only hear one side of it. If they can make that happen. Remember, they said hacking the election was telling the truth about Hillary Clinton. All right, that's it for our program. Thank you for joining us today. You can find Lionel on YouTube, Lionel Nation, on Twitter, @LionelMedia.